He was helpful.
No matter how hard Katara tried to cling to his faults, to keep her guard up, to keep him out, she couldn't get around that fact. Despite all the hostility she'd thrown his way, Zuko just kept helping. It infuriated her at first. Half the time, she didn't even get to ask for help with the dishes before he began gathering them up after a meal. Presumptuous, that was what he was. And if it weren't for the fact that no one else ever really offered to help, she wouldn't have let him get away with it. But it took a lot of work to keep 8 people clean and fed, and as much as it annoyed her, the work got done much faster with a second pair of hands. Even if those hands belonged to a massive jerk like Zuko. And then Zuko helped rescue Dad and Suki from prison, and Katara expected the helpfulness to end. He had won over the others, after all. She was the last holdout. No, the last person with sense. And that was probably all he wanted. Winning over most of their group must have been his goal all along, and now he'd done it. But on the first night back at the temple, Zuko looked squirmy and uncomfortable under the glow of the other's praise, and at the first opportunity, he darted off to wash the dishes. He didn't want to be praised, Katara finally realized. Zuko just helped. Even now, with the whole of the temple abuzz at the adults' arrival, with some of the usual chaos abating as the newcomers steadied the food supply and kept the younger kids occupied, he kept helping. And little by little, Katara lost her grip on the resentment that had consumed her for so long. Things weren't right just yet, but they were getting closer. Closer than she could remember them being in a very long time. She wasn't ready to forgive Zuko. Not yet. But maybe she could lower her walls. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to let him in just a little bit. She found him on the edge of a terrace, arms folded, shoulders slightly hunched as he watched Dad, Sokka, and Suki training in the courtyard below. She could have walked away. A few days ago, she would have. She would have dismissed the quiet melancholy, the loneliness in his posture, and moved on. But today, there were no chores to run back to, no ridiculous arguments to resolve between the others, and no crises to mend. Today, the weights seemed lifted from her shoulders. Today, she felt like taking a chance. Just a little one.
"I thought sword fighting was your specialty," she said, hanging a few steps back.
With a start, Zuko straightened and peered over his shoulder at her. Keeping her distance, Katara came around to stand against the next column in the row. She watched Suki lunge at Sokka's knees, knocking him to the ground.
"I thought you'd be down there training with them."
"Oh."
From the corner of her eye, she saw Zuko shift and reach up to rub the back of his neck.
"No, not this time."
"Why not?"
She didn't look his way. It was easier not to. Easier not to get caught in his piercing golden gaze if she didn't meet his eyes.
"I didn't want to intrude."
That soft, uncertain tone still sounded foreign from his lips. Like all his sharpened edges had worn away. Like they were back in the catacombs again, and Zuko had left himself open and raw. Vulnerable. It had always felt like a trap before, like the openness was a trick designed to lure her nearer, but it was becoming more and more constant, the rule rather than the exception.
"How would you be intruding? They're just training."
Zuko ran a hand through his hair.
"I know. It's just..."
He gestured helplessly toward the courtyard.
"It seems like a family thing."
Katara almost reminded him that Suki wasn't family either. She might be someday if Sokka had his way, but for now, she was no more family than Zuko. But Katara didn't say that. Instead, she turned toward him, studying him in profile, the tension in his jaw, the slight, nervous shifts in his stance. She traced his gaze down to the courtyard, saw his eyes flick toward Dad again and again, saw him stiffen ever so slightly when Dad moved, when Dad spoke.
You were scared of my dad.
There was no question in her voice. It was a statement. A fact. Zuko whipped his head toward her, eyes wide.
No,
he said, tone so uncertain that it was more question than anything else. He shook his head and looked away, clearing his throat.
No. No, I'm not scared of your dad.
Though his tone was steadier, Katara was no more convinced.
Mm-hmm,
she hummed, eyebrow arched. With a slow, uneven sigh, Zuko leaned his shoulder against the column beside him.
I'm not scared. It's just... my record with fathers isn't good.
A small pause.
Especially my own.
He stared into the courtyard for a long moment before he snapped back to reality and looked at Katara again.
Sorry. Your dad seems nice.
But you're afraid of him.
She sat, leaning back against her own column, her legs dangling off the edge of the terrace. Zuko mirrored her, perching a few arm's lengths away.
I guess so.
So why watch him train with the others?
He shrugged.
Curiosity, maybe. I don't know for sure.
He glanced toward Katara.
What about you?
Can't I watch my dad and brother train together?
Zuko looked out over the courtyard again.
Of course you can. But you could have watched them and avoided me if you wanted to.
He didn't turn her way. Katara was grateful for that. She wasn't sure how she would have reacted had he actually looked at her. A little sheepish, she produced the moon peaches she had nabbed from the bowl back in the kitchen.
I brought snacks.
Now Zuko turned toward her.
You...
His eyes landed on the fruit, and the corner of his mouth tilted slightly upward, though his brow remained raised in bewilderment.
You did.
Katara tossed one at him, and he caught it in midair.
Don't read into it. I always have snacks. It's a requirement of being related to Sokka.
He nodded, but the little crooked smile didn't fade. It was a nice smile. Small and soft, and it reached upward, crinkling his eyes at the corners.
Stop it, she ordered herself.
She was making peace with him as thanks for his help with the chores, nothing more. Her stomach had no business fluttering like that.
Thank you, Katara.
There was a little flip in the pit of her stomach, and her face heated. No, 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 no! She didn't trust Zuko. She couldn't trust Zuko. She wasn't going to go soft for him. She took a huge, inelegant bite of her moon peach to push the fluttering back down. It didn't work. The usual sticky sweetness of the fruit filled her mouth, then there was a small crunch, and a rush of bitterness overpowered the rest of the flavor. She gagged and leaned forward, letting the mouthful of peach fall between her knees and over the edge of the terrace.
Katara?
There was movement, then a warm hand closed on her shoulder.
Are you okay?
The bitter taste still lingered in her mouth, and she spat out as much of it as she could. Wiping her mouth with the back of her hand, she looked back, and Zuko pulled away, as though he'd just realized the line he'd crossed. Oddly, she found that she hadn't minded it. The weight of his hand on her shoulder wasn't the worst feeling in the world. But the moon peach, she looked down at it. At the soft, moist flesh that should have been uniformly pink through to the core. It wasn't. Right there in the center was a brownish blotch and a ring of hard stuff. If she looked close enough, she could see it moving. She gagged again.
I think I just ate a worm.
Zuko made a snorting sound, and Katara shot a glare at him. She gave his shoulder a shove and dropped what was left of the moon peach on the terrace between them.
Don't laugh at me!
Zuko shook his head and dropped to sit beside her, still smiling.
Sorry, I'm not.
A quick chuckle burst out and he covered his mouth.
Jerk.
Zuko cleared his throat and collected himself.
Sorry. I'm not laughing at you.
The smile persisted, though, and after Katara washed the wormy taste out of her mouth with a bit of water, she almost smiled, too. Almost.
Here.
Zuko offered his moon peach.
You can have mine. I appreciate the thought.
Katara hesitated. Outside of his insistence on doing chores, she'd made a point of not accepting anything from him, especially food, since he arrived. She'd even gone so far as to ban him from the kitchen for his first few days at the temple. But he hadn't tried to hurt any of them, and he certainly hadn't tried to poison anyone. And she had brought the moon peaches down. There was no way he was trying to poison her. Still, reluctance gripped her. Especially with the wormy moon peach sitting between them. That little surprise had diminished her appetite considerably.
Split it, she said. I'm not as hungry as I thought.
Zuko's smile quirked upward again, but he didn't comment as he pulled out his knife, the pretty little pearl one that he seemed to always carry. The blade bit through the soft skin, carving a smooth pink line through the white body of the fruit, and Zuko twisted the halves apart. His eyes widened, and he made an almost comical look of disgust.
Well, that's... yuck.
He angled the moon peach halves so that she could see the wiggly brownish shapes inside.
I don't think you'll want this one either.
Is the whole basket like that? The boys just picked them this morning.
Katara had been excited when Teo, the Duke, and Aang had gathered up the basket of fresh fruit earlier in the morning. She'd already tried to figure out how far the extra food would go to help them stretch their supplies, but if every one of the peaches was full of worms, she'd prefer to take her chances visiting a Fire Nation market town for real food.
Zuko shrugged. Did they pick them off of the tree or the ground?
Well, the Duke was too short to reach any of the branches of the moon peach trees. Teo, too. And neither the Duke nor Aang had any qualms about climbing trees, but if it was easier, then... the ground. He pulled a face again and closed up the wriggling fruit.
Yeah, then they're all like this.
Katara groaned and let her head thump down into her hands.
We're going to have to go shopping for more food in a few days, aren't we?
Well,
he paused, and she turned to look at him.
I could pick some more. The ones that are on the trees should be fine. I mean, if you want me to.
She considered it for a second. Having the extra food would be good. And if they could replace the basket of wormy moon peaches before supper, then she wouldn't have to explain to the boys that their attempt at helping was anything but helpful. Maybe she could get Zuko to gently inform them that fruit on the ground wasn't always good to eat. She nodded.
I'll come with you.
His face reddened just a hint, and she caught a hint of a smile before she looked away.
Let's get rid of the bad ones first.
She stood, picking up her discarded moon peach on the way.
Luckily, I know someone who likes to eat fruit and bugs.
Zuko's brow furrowed as he stood up with her.
Who, Sokka?
A laugh escaped her before she could stop it.
No, not the last time I checked. Momo.
Oh.
He looked a little embarrassed, but relaxed into a small smile with her laugh.
You know, that does make a lot more sense.
Smiling, Katara shook her head.
Just wait until I tell Sokka that you wanted to feed him worms.
Zuko started to protest, but she held up a hand.
I'm kidding. Come on, Momo is going to love us.